First, a good movie can have an exciting plot, but a great movie has a plot line and amazing food. Think about it. The smell of popcorn isn't all that makes your mouth water when you're looking at the silver screen.
Have you ever wondered what the French toast in Kramer versus Kramer tastes like, or the pumpkin juice or butterbeer in Harry Potter? Maybe you developed a taste for Ratatouille after the animated Pixar movie.
Our next guest wrote a book that will make foodies and movie lovers happy. Andrew Ray is a chef, a filmmaker, a YouTuber, and the author of the new book, Eat What You Watch, a cookbook for movie lovers. Andrew, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, Andrew, I notice food in movies, I guess, sometimes, but you really pay attention to it. What got you interested in the food in the movies and then recreating that food on your own?
It was always something that always caught my eye. One of my earliest food film memories was the abandoned feast in Jurassic Park, when the kids go through that harrowing ordeal and they come back and there's all these jellies and ice cream and all this stuff. And that's one of the most memorable moments of seeing movies when I was a kid.
See, I remember the dinosaurs, not the jelly.
Were there dinosaurs in that movie?
I remember the jellies too, actually. They were quivering and stuff.
Exactly. That's how you knew the dinosaurs were coming, because the jelly in her spoon was quivering.
Absolutely, yeah. Rob. Did you even see that movie?
Well, yeah. But again, the T-Rex has kind of overshadowed the food. But for me. Yeah.
For you. Well, Andrew, I want to ask you, movies and food seem to be your calling, and you started a series, Binging with Babish. Can you tell us about how that came to be?
Very much on accident. I was always obsessed with food and film, and I had to choose culinary school or film school. I went to film school. I was in post-production, commercial post-production, and I just decided to keep food alive as a crazy hobby that I would stay up until 5 in the morning working on. And I bought a camera and a light to do some freelance work and decided to just set it up in my kitchen. And I did one episode just thinking, you know, this will be fun, and people liked it, so I kept making it. Now it's my full-time job.
And how central is food to a good movie? What makes a good movie food?
Well, I don't know if food is totally essential to a good movie, but it's present in so many iconic movie scenes. And for some reason, when you see it in a movie, you want it more than you might normally want. So many people asked me to recreate the pasta from Elf, even though it's clearly disgusting. But something about it draws you to it. And I think that food can be just as much of a character, particularly in food movies, as the actors themselves.
And we have, we're going to talk about that recipe, but let's get in the mood first.
Absolutely.
So where were you for the last 30 years?
The North Pole. Can you pass the maple syrup, please?
I didn't put it. It's spaghetti.
You know what? I think I have some. Yes.
You like sugar, huh?
Is there sugar in syrup?
Yes.
Then yes! We elves try to stick to the four main food groups: candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
And hence the dessert breakfast pasta. What is in that stuff?
Everything that you loved as a kid and now can't stand as an adult. It's got crumbled Pop-Tarts and caramel sauce, chocolate sauce, marshmallows, M&Ms, maple syrup. I could keep going. Every candy your parents wouldn't let you have.
And there's pasta in there somewhere, too.
Yeah, somewhere in the bottom. Ironically, there's pasta.
Okay,
for breakfast.
So what's it like to actually eat this?
Oh, it's disgusting. It's abhorrent. But people are curious about it. It's one of the most famous scenes from that movie, and people were dying to see it. So eventually I caved around the holiday season last year and made it for the show, and it's even in the book.
I'm pretty sure my daughter would eat that. I don't know if I want to try, but I'm pretty sure she would eat that.
The worst part is that I had to eat it 3 times, because
the first time
I had, like, the lens wasn't focused correctly.
Oh, no.
So I had to do it over. And then now this came over, and they wanted me to make it for their show, so I ate it 3 whole times, which was awesome.
Is there another movie besides Elf that people really connected with the food in it and wanted to see you make it?
Particularly food movies like Chef. People really wanted to see, and animated shows, because this book is all about movie foods, but I do also do television show foods on the show, and things like Bob's Burgers, which all surrounds food loosely. People were dying to see all these sort of whimsically named burgers, and Adventure Time is a cartoon that millennials are obsessed with, and they wanted to see this sandwich called Jake's Perfect Sandwich that has a T-bone steak and a whole bird and eggs and all. It ended up being about 8 inches tall. People want to see those, particularly appetizing looking things over the disgusting, usually.
We're talking to Andrew Ray. His new book is Eat What You Watch, a cookbook for movie lovers. Let's let the movie set up something that I think people actually enjoy consuming. Here's a listen from Harry Potter.
Does anyone fancy a butterbeer?
So butter beer is a thing. I looked at the recipe. It looks drinkable.
Yeah, that looks delicious.
What goes into butter beer from Harry Potter?
Well, it's described as frothy and sweet and mildly alcoholic, which is odd because all these kids drink it.
Yeah.
So just enough booze in there to intoxicate a child. Not that that's what we want to do, but that's the measurement we're going for. so we're looking at it's got a base of cream soda. And to make it extra frothy, there are shaken egg whites, some butterscotch schnapps, simple syrup for extra sweetness, and a little bit of vanilla extract and heavy cream to make it all creamy and frothy and just a little bit alcoholic.
Now, I happen to have this one. It was delicious at Harry Potter World in Los Angeles. How does it compare to that one? Are they similar?
I have not personally tried it, but I read an article that when they opened that theme park that visitors were in tears from finally drinking it, something that
they were
wanted
really good
and wondered about so for so long.
So J.K. Rowling didn't put a recipe in there for this, just a description. What's it like to either, read the book or watch the movie and then try to reconstruct as best you can the recipe?
Well, it takes a whole bunch of research. It really depends on the source material. For instance, the strudel from Inglourious Bastards, the Quentin Tarantino movie, it was made back in World War II, and I wanted to really emulate like an Oma recipe for how they would have made strudel. So I just dug through all these archives of people blogging about their grandmother's recipe and eventually settled on one where you have to stretch the dough out to the size of the table and it becomes so thin you can see your hand through it.
Wow.
And then you brush that entirely down with butter and roll it up and use that to make like flaky layers. So sometimes it takes a lot of research. Sometimes it's totally spelled out for me. Like in the case of, pasta aglio olio from Chef, you see him make it step by step right there so I can imitate it accurately.
Why do you think it is so weirdly compelling to see people eating in the movies? But I also feel this in books, too. And I think of a show, for example, not a movie, but the Gilmore Girls, where they're constantly eating. And that seems like the creators of that show knew that people wanted to see them eating and just kept throwing it in.
Absolutely. I think it's because it's something that's most potentially tangible about the things that you love, either books or movies or TV shows. It's something that you could potentially try yourself, and it's a way of immersing yourself in what you're watching. And I think that that's the draw.
Now, a rough ballpark percentage: how many, Andrew, of these recipes that you've recreated are actually good, that you enjoyed eating?
Well, in the book, I'd say there's 41 recipes, so that means there's 40 recipes in there that are good.
Plus the spaghetti.
Plus the spaghetti, which is not. It's just in there for fun. And as far as the show, I think I've done in excess of 60 episodes now, and there were some real stinkers in there. And there were some that were, I'd say it's a 50-50 mix, because sometimes these things are designed to be purposefully disgusting, like the Elf pasta that's meant to gross you out and make you go, eh. And there was no improving that one. Often I try to make my own version where it's the good version of this fictional food, and I was not able to do that with the Elf pasta.
And what about, was it the blueberry pie from Stand By Me? I mean, I love pie, yet somehow I don't know if I want to make that pie.
It's a kind of not a great food scene if you're trying to keep your appetite, but I don't know. There was something appealing to me about that. It was also an excuse to get a pie recipe in the book because I love pie, and I didn't want to do American pie. That seemed a little
yeah,
on the nose.
Yeah.
Just leave out the castor oil and you'll be good.
Talking to Andrew Ray, chef and filmmaker, telling us about his new cookbook. It's called Eat What You Watch, a cookbook for movie lovers.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are there movies that always manage to make you hungry? Has Hollywood ever inspired you to try or to make a new food or kind of food? Is there a recipe from a movie that you want to try to make but don't know how? Maybe Andrew can help you out. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
And we'll continue our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
What kind of hamburgers?
Cheeseburgers.
No. Where'd you get them? McDonald's, Wendy's, Jack in the Box, where?
Big Kahuna Burger.
Big Kahuna Burger. That's that Hawaiian burger joint. I hear they got some tasty burgers.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're picking up our conversation with Andrew Ray. He's a chef and a filmmaker, and he's telling us about his new cookbook. It's called Eat What You Watch, a cookbook for movie lovers.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have any favorite movies with food scenes in them? Is there something you've tried or made that you saw in a movie or want to try? Call 800-642-1234. Maybe we'll check out that Big Kahuna Burger in a bit. Let's go right to our callers now, though. Travis is with us in Manitowish Waters. Travis, hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, Travis?
I wanted to talk about the rum ham from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I do not recommend the rum ham.
There was no way possible to make an alcoholic rum ham taste good. It kind of burns it all off when you actually cook it.
Well, I mean, I don't think he ever cooked it. I think he just took a cooked ham and soaked it in rum. And not only is it gross, but it's not even going to get you intoxicated. It's not even going to get you drunk. So it's just pointless.
But you did try this one, Andrew?
I did try that
one. You soaked the ham in the rum.
Yes. And I wholeheartedly would like to ward everybody off from anybody who wants to try that. Bad move. Don't do it.
I mean, yeah, life lessons from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Basically do what they don't do, I think, is a fair statement.
All right. Sorry about the bad news, Travis. And we're going to go next to Gail in Fish Creek. Gail, hi.
Hi. Oh, this is inspiring me. I'm going to have to get the movie out again. I'm wondering if you've ever seen Babette Feast. And if you haven't, it's incredible. The whole movie is about a dinner, and it's such a fabulous dinner, and the backstory is just beautiful.
I think you have, right, Andrew?
Not my most recent episode, but my episode before that was Sky and Sacrifice from Babette's Feast. I love that movie. A lot of my audiences are millennials, so it's very hard to recommend that to them because a lot of that movie is people staring wistfully out the window. But it's a beautiful film, and at the end there's this wonderful feast. You're absolutely right. And the one that always caught my eye was the guy in Sacrifice, which was quails in a puff pastry sarcophagus. So if you check out my YouTube channel, you'll see one of the most recent episodes is from that very film.
And we're looking at the picture in the book. And I got to say, yeah, Andrew, come on over and make this for us. I don't think I'm going to try to put this one together myself.
I don't know if I want to eat anything with the word sarcophagus in it.
It is off-putting, but it's fabulous. And yeah, the version in the book is a little bit more accessible because the one in the movie is made with hunks of black truffle and foie gras and quail. And it's very hard to get hold of those things. It was very difficult for me to source them. So the one in this in the book is a little bit more accessible. It's made with black truffle oil and Cornish game hens. It's things that you might be able to find at your supermarket.
Thanks a lot for the call, Gail. We're talking to Andrew Ray. His new book is Eat What You Watch, a cookbook for movie lovers. We have a couple of recipes that he shared, by the way, linked on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to our callers now. Fred is on the line in La Crosse. Fred, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about?
Well, I've loved The Big Lebowski since the first time I've seen it, and I've seen it many times. And the scene where the three of them are sitting in the car eating In-N-Out burgers. So earlier this year, I was in Las Vegas for a family wedding, and the first place we went to eat was at an In-N-Out burger joint.
Good move.
The strip. And we ran into Mike Daniels, the Green Bay Packer there.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fred, thanks a lot for that call. I would think if Big Lebowski inspired people to consume anything, it would be the drink, the White Russian.
Yeah, the White Russian. And I also did an episode on movie cocktails. White Russian was in there. And I totally forgot that they had In-N-Out burgers. That's a missed opportunity for me because those are great burgers.
It can be an upcoming episode.
Yeah.
Well, Fred, thanks a lot. And we're going to go next to Erica in Kenosha. Erica, hi.
Eric.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eric.
Yeah, that's
apologies.
Okay. No worries. In Kenosha, yeah, I was totally inspired many, many years ago to just become a cook. Not professionally, but to enjoy cooking and get much more into cooking from an old French film called La Grande Bouffe. And the food they served in that made me hungrier and hungrier. It was just amazing classic French cuisine that was being served all day and all night as part of the plot of the movie.
La Grande Bouffe. Does that ring a bell, Andrew?
Yeah. Are they sort of, it's like a group suicide pact to eat themselves to death or something? Yeah.
It's a very dark film, and they decide they're all chefs or they're friends of chefs.
That's a good way to go.
Suicide by eating themselves to death.
This inspired you to cook at a reasonable level, though, right, Eric? Just, you know, for normal consumption.
Yes.
Good. Okay.
If suicide's occurring, it's only very long term.
Okay.
Well, yeah, no, that's the very definition of indulgence, I guess. And I have not seen it, but I have heard of it. It's pretty notorious.
Well, speaking of bouffe, though, you have the bouffe bourguignon from Julie and Julia in your book.
Yes, that is my absolute favorite dish to make, so I insisted that it be in there. I have a pressure cooker version in there. It's something that I've been practicing for years, and I love Julia's method, and... more modern methods that I love slow and low meals because it just shows you how foods and flavors can change over time with minimal heat. It's a very interesting way to learn how to cook.
Eric, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Daniel in Wisconsin Rapids. Daniel, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention the movie The Big Night, which is all about cooking and two immigrant Italian brother chefs who are going to throw a big dinner party with the very last of their savings to try and save their restaurant.
Daniel?
It's Tony Shalhoub, and I'm not going to get the other actor, but just
Stanley Tucci.
Yeah. Andrew, thank you for that call. This is your number one Oscar-worthy food performance, and you've got the big, huge dish they make at the end, the timpano pasta?
Timpano, yep. That was my second episode I ever did of the show.
Wow.
I made it when I still had a full-time job, so I had the idea to make it the same night that I got home, and I worked until 6 in the morning, went to work, came home, finished it, and I had a bunch of friends over, and we ate around 10. We were all starving and delirious.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was a magical experience. It fulfilled every hope that I had from watching the movie, which is maybe one of my favorite movies and definitely the best food movie ever made.
Daniel, thanks a lot for that call, and we'll go to another one from Kathleen in Madison. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I was thrilled by this subject since it's my hobby to replicate food in movies and in television.
Oh, cool.
Something in common. What have you done, Kathleen?
Well, I made the timpano as well.
Wow.
And I did the entirety of that.
Oh my gosh.
With quail, with truffles.
Like you should be writing the book, not me.
Well, and we offered it as the leading prize for the hospital at which I worked for our United Way fundraiser. And it was purchased by one of the vice presidents, and we replicated the movie. Not because we plan to, but because at first there are people looking down, you know, good Wisconsin Lutheran types looking down going, you don't mean it's really made out of turtle, do you?
Yeah, how'd you
and
do
by
that?
The end of the evening, everybody is bubbly and talking and asking for seconds.
Wow, what a magical experience and a lot of work, it sounds like, Kathleen.
Oh, it was so worth it. I did an entire dry run. 22 years later, a man came up to me a few months ago and said, you don't remember me, but I was at what you called your dry run for that feast.
Wow, so that's memorable. That's really getting at something. And that's what you're talking about too, Andrew, that this isn't just, you know, kind of a passing lark. There is some sort of internal connection with this food stuff that's powerful from the movies.
Yeah, and there's something special when you get to actually try it yourself. There's something special that happens that you feel more connected to and more in, a part of what you love so much. And Kathleen, next time you're doing that, let me know. I'd like to come over, please.
And Andrew, before we run out of time, I teased the Big Kahuna Burger earlier from Pulp Fiction, and you've got a Hawaiian burger to replicate it. What's the secret in making our own Big Kahuna Burger?
Well, you know, Hawaiian burger, pineapple is, of course, going to be on there. But then to sort of offset the tartness and sweetness of that, we got teriyaki sauce. And the most important thing you want to make a fast food style burger is to make smash burgers. So you form a little meatball about 2 inches wide and put it in a very hot pan, smash it down with a big flat spatula. And that's going to get you this really crispy on the outside, juicy on the inside, diner style In-N-Out style burger, and that's the key to making a great fast food burger at home.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. And Andrew, last question as we wrap up: what's next on your list? You've done this whole cookbook. What are you going to cook for us next?
Well, I'm actually trying to figure that out right now. I think this week's episode is going to be Michael Scott's the Works pretzel from The Office. It has 18 different toppings on it: cotton candy bits, white chocolate, dark chocolate, all this different stuff, and gives them a huge sugar high. So I'm gonna see what that's like. And I have a new show that just came out called Basics with Babish. That's an instructional series for those who want to grow their skills in the kitchen.
Andrew, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
We've been talking to Andrew Ray. He's a chef, a filmmaker, a YouTuber, and the author of a book that combines all of his interests. It's Eat What You Watch, a cookbook for movie lovers. That book's out now. He joined us to tell us how to make some of the most iconic meals featured in popular movies. You can find a few of the recipes from his cookbook linked over at the Ideas Network Facebook page.